I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business, the second hour of this morning, and show 589. It's our original It's Your Business series. The Rev at the microphone this morning. Rev?
Yes, sir.
Good to see you. You think all of our guests will make it in? Or with snow plows?
I think so,
yeah. Some trouble.
You know, it's the sun's out now, and the plows have been working all morning, so most of the main drags are wet right now, Bill, but it's still pretty slick. I turned in front of the pavilion, and my rear end went sliding into the other lane, so take it easy. Slow down. Give yourself a few extra minutes. That's always the safe thing to do.
We're going to talk about accidents this morning, whether it be an accident you've had today or recently, some things that you need to watch for. Maybe it was the icy conditions, the slick streets. Maybe you were texting. So our legal leader, Tom Johnson, will give us some important thoughts. But we need to tell you what else is in the show and a place that you can go if you've missed some of our shows. You can go to our podcast now at Kello News Talk. Just go to our Kello website, hit podcast. You'll see many of our shows if you hit It's Your Business. And then pick and choose and you can listen. Plus, starting after our show today, they tell me they're teaching me to blog.
Oh,
I can't
boy.
Believe I'm adding that four-letter word to my vocabulary, but we want to talk with you, and we look forward to visiting with you as we do this.
Good luck, Bill.
I know.
We're all counting on you.
I'm not having anybody volunteer to really help either. The other two stories working in this hour, in addition to, we're going to have a flower update from Flowerama. They were here last Friday. They said they thought 25,000 flowers they were going to put out. How's the week been? We're going to hear from Chuck Kuntz at Flowerama. But one of the things that we will be talking about, service clubs dying, looking for answers. And we, as part of It's Your Business, have started a campaign to help. And today, a remarkable story continues. If you're in a service club, worried about if your club will be able to survive another generation, do those important projects in the community, we have hope. We have some answers this morning. And surprisingly, it comes with the English side of Sertoma, Doug English. He'll be here to explain, along with two new members that joined from a business meeting that was held outside of their local meeting. Not a bad thought. We'll visit with Russ Hoovendick, executive recruiter. He's been helping many from deployment to employment with his book today. We're going to talk to one of those that was deployed about what Russ is doing to help. That's all coming up in the second half of the hour. Tom Johnson is here, Johnson Christensen Law Office. Nice to have him back in our studios today. Did you walk or drive?
I drove, but it was a little bit difficult.
We saw lots of stories during the whiteout, the freeze-out, the text-out about accidents. Even Sam Kizar, who was here earlier, our arborist, got behind a snowplow, thought he was going to get into a fender bender. But there are always questions about an accident. What do I do? Are you game to kind of answer questions this morning?
I'll do my best.
People that want to consult with you and your staff, let's give them that contact information first so they know how to reach you. Maybe they're in an accident right now.
Yeah, our telephone number is 335-1778. And you can also find us and find out a little more about us at SiouxFallsLaw.com.
All right, let's say somebody is in an accident. What do you do first?
Well, the first thing has nothing to do with law. It has to do with the emergency situation. You check on the safety of everyone, check if there's going to be a fire, if there's any danger of that, if anyone's having some bleeding problems or breathing problems, and you call for help, the police, the ambulance, the first responders. And I think of, along those lines, that story that we had here a month or so ago where a couple of people pulled somebody out of a car that burst into flames. And, you know, that's what you're watching for at first.
Now, once the emergencies are resolved, what's next?
Well, mostly it's preserving evidence. It's identifying everything and everyone, knowing exactly where you are, exactly who is there, taking the time to pause and think about exactly what happened, sequence of lights, who was in what lane, who was on what side of the road, the vehicles, which vehicle is which, just getting a description of the vehicle.
So I would guess that there might be a segment that we would call preserving evidence?
Exactly. Preserving evidence is incredibly important, and we have a huge help now. Almost all of us have it in our pocket. It's called cell phone cameras. They do amazing things for preserving evidence. Last weekend I had a friend up in the cities who was in a serious accident, And, you know, usually after these accidents, I get one or two pictures. He emailed me 100 pictures, and important ones, too. I mean, it was an unusual situation. We needed a lot of that evidence. So those cell phones can do a wonder for you.
What is a good picture? You mentioned 100 pictures. You don't need 100 pictures, but you need certain pictures to show what is important.
You want to show the damage. You want to show the conditions, particularly if you're dealing with ice and snow like this. You want to show the position of the cars, the location of the cars in the intersection or on the road. If somebody has been hurt, this may sound a little grotesque, but frankly, pictures of the victims are also helpful. All of that seems a lot better than it really was when you get 2-3 months, 6 months, a year on down the road and you forget just exactly how bad the accident was. The other thing you want to do is you want to get names of everyone around. You know what happens at an accident is that everybody stops immediately and checks for the emergency situation. But then the observers, the witnesses, they have their days to continue and they oftentimes leave. So you need to get those names if you're able to. Another thing that that you can do easily is, you know, if you see some cars that have parked and you really can't take the time to go get their names, take a picture of their car and of their the license on the car, and we can probably figure out who it was later on if we know what vehicle they were in. Exchanging business cards, you know, that's an easy way to get names, and you don't have to write it down and such. Just ask for business cards of some of the witnesses. Or if you're a witness, offer to hand that business card out, usually, ideally, to the person you think was not at fault.
Don't assume that the officer that is investigating will have all that information. You need to make sure you're taking care of yourself, correct?
That's right. You know, the police get there several minutes after the accident happened. And if there are only mild injuries, or if the witnesses are in a hurry, they're going to move on sometimes before the police get there. And the police are going to start with the victims, worrying about safety of the victims. They're not really worried about the civil outcome that may come as a result of the accident. And the other thing is, make sure your side is heard. Police officers are there. They're going to take statements for the people who were in the accident. They'll try to identify the witnesses they can. But if you're able to make sure that your statement is heard, you want to make sure that it is.
You've got a pretty good list here of what you need to do to take care of yourself. I don't know how many times I've come up on an accident and somebody has just gotten out of the car and chewed out the person in front of them. Boy, you've done it now. You've done this or that. How easy is it going to be for that person at that point to get what information they need to make sure they're covered?
It's, you know, tempers get out of control at the accident scenes, and obviously safety is the first thing that you have to worry about. And if you get into an argument with somebody, that first of all, it's you're not going to win. There's no way that argument is going to settle anything. It may make you feel better, I suppose, if you get to yell at them, but you're just a lot better off if you try to stay cool, stay calm. Try to take care of the emergency, try to gather information.
All right, statements. You have some timelines on this.
Yeah, the statements to the police are absolutely necessary. It's important for you to make those statements. It's important for you to get your side into the police. Otherwise, that police report's going to come out with only the other side. But then later on, you're going to have adjusters calling you and asking you for statements. And you have to kind of stand back and say, which adjuster is that? Because essentially, there's adjusters for your company and there's adjusters for the other company, for the other driver. For your company, you have a contractual obligation to speak to that adjuster and to tell him what happened because you bought insurance. That was a part of your insurance contract. For the other adjusters, for the other guy, it's a little different. He doesn't really have your best interests in heart. And so what we recommend is that you not give full statements to the adjuster for the other guy's company.
Tom Johnson, Johnson Christensen Law Office, SiouxFallsLaw.com. We're talking about accidents. Maybe you had one this morning. Maybe you've had one recently. We're kind of going through a checklist, and we will be putting this up as a podcast for you to do a checklist with probably by Monday that the podcast will be put online by our good Mark Brown. The adjusters and first party, can you kind of touch on those?
Sure. We have... I like to categorize adjusters as two different types, particularly when you're dealing with the adjuster for the other guy's insurance company. There's what I call a third-party adjuster. They have a contract. The other guy is their agent, or they're an agent for the other guy. They have a contract with him. They're supposed to protect him. They're supposed to take care of him. And you're really just a problem to them. They don't have your best interests at heart at all. They have their insured, the guy they have a contract with. And so that particular adjuster is one who is a little bit dangerous for you. The first party adjuster is your adjuster. And as I said earlier, you have an obligation to fully inform your adjuster as to what happened and to cooperate and to make statements. In complicated situations, or if you're uncomfortable with what happened, it might be a good idea to call us and have us attend or have that statement made at our office. But generally, you have to speak to that adjuster, and he is your agent. He is representing you. You have a contract with him. He's there to protect you and to pay your claims per the contract. That being said, he also represents his company. And his company either has a mutual company, which is owned by all the drivers, or it's a stockholding company where he has stockholders to report to. In those situations, in addition to him being your agent, he also has to represent thousands of others to try to reduce costs for the company and to keep the settlements low. Pay only what they absolutely have to. They have to deal with you fairly, but knowing that your claims are affecting the way the other policyholders' rates may go, and they have to balance those two interests. So they really have two masters: you, the company, and the other insureds.
Tom Johnson, Johnson Christensen Law Office. Give me your number, your contact information.
It's 335-1778.
When we come back, we're going to talk about what the adjusters know that you don't, and what do adjusters do to kind of throw you off your game. That's all a part of It's Your Business on this Friday. Tom Johnson, go ahead and say it. Johnson Christensen Law Office. We're going to talk about Target in a minute. And something that we have talked about before, but I want to get into what the adjusters know that you don't at a scene and some of the games they play to make it hard for you to do what you really need to do.
Well, the adjusters always know what the policy limits are on the policy of their insured. They also know the number of people that are injured in the accident, which you may not know because you may have left the scene. You may never have really gotten a good look at who was in the other car. You may not know how many cars were involved. There's a lot of confusion that happens at an accident site. Sometimes the number of injured people will affect how much the adjuster can really deal out to the various claimants. And that can affect how valuable your claim is in the eyes of the adjuster because he has to settle all of those claims. Quick settlements are always cheaper. So there is a tendency to offer you a fairly low amount fairly quickly. And generally speaking, time is on your side, not on the insurance company's side, because that's going to give you more time to know just exactly how seriously you've been injured. Time allows you to learn much of what he already knows. So those quick settlements that come at the beginning are just generally not a good idea, very seldom are they in your best interests. They also have a pretty good idea as to the cost of injuries. There's all kinds of different injuries that can occur when you're in an automobile accident, But they've got the experience to have a pretty good idea what a particular surgery is going to cost, what a particular stay in the hospital is going to cost, what the likelihood of a good or a bad outcome from particular injuries are going to be. That's not to say that they're doctors or that they're experts at it, but they do it day in and day out. The injury you've had is probably the first time you've ever had that injury, and they've seen it before. They know what the outcome is likely to be. They certainly don't know exactly what it's going to be, but they've seen it before, and they know the range of values for claims. They know what low is and what high is, and have a pretty good idea of what they settled the last 50 or 100 claims like yours was, and whether or not they should settle at a particular amount or not.
Now, they can't avoid you. There's some pretty good tricks, and as I was looking at some of the points that you put together for us, Tom, it was like, I could see them doing that.
Yeah. In addition to the quick settlement offers, you also have the exact opposite. You have the avoidance issues, and you know your adjuster is on vacation, or your adjuster is no longer your adjuster. They've got a new adjuster. They've transferred it to somebody else. Everybody nowadays has voicemail, so you can send in voicemail one after another, and not hear back from them. They may purportedly be transferred to another area, and they're going to be back after the most recent emergency in Florida or in Georgia is over. And then particularly, you know, sometimes these cases are blended. If you're at work, it can be a work comp case too. And surveillance tapes are unbelievably frequent in work comp cases. So you may not know it, but you may be filmed as you go about your day-to-day activities. And you may be doing some things that they're going to use against you, even though you're doing them in pain. They're going to tell a whole different story when they show that tape.
Tom Johnson, Johnson Christensen Law Office, SiouxFallsLaw.com. Okay, we've gone through this. This has been a short course this morning on all the things that you should know. At what point do you call Tom Johnson and say, I can't handle this?
Well, in general, I think I don't think you necessarily need to call us for a property damage thing. That's a blue book issue. The range of value is not extraordinarily high. But if you're injured, if you have a bodily injury, I think you should be calling us as soon as possible. If you, you know, in spite of what I think about this, if you decide to go ahead and deal it alone, then call us as soon as you start running into some of the things that I'm warning you about, because hopefully at that point you'll know that you probably need some help. We will talk to you free. An hour after the accident, a day after the accident, a year after the accident. Having said that, there is a limitation on how long you have to resolve all claims. And so you should be calling at least within a month or two. There's a point at which we won't talk to you because it's just too close to the statute of limitations.
Tom Johnson, Johnson Christensen Law Office. You're listening to Tom and saying, I kind of believe that guy. He's good at what he says. I've spent a lot of time with Tom, and I've talked to him about the different things that his office does advocate, what they work on. And what you're hearing is what you get. Tom is sincere. He believes in what he's doing. He's not always right on some of the topics that I will ask you about.
You're not going to talk about Target.
You know, we talked about that, and you said, you kind of shook your head. Well, that couldn't affect us here. They got it resolved. Tom, did they have it resolved?
This happens every time I make a mistake, Bill. This is the second time.
I only caught you twice.
Okay, Target was a little more serious than I thought it was. Yeah. We have, at our house, we've done some additional mending. We've gone in and checked our credit rating. We've checked to see if there are any new credit applications, because we did have an active Target card, and we were shopping at Target during those periods of time that were in effect. And we haven't had any problems, but we'll continue checking it at least once a month.
The scary thing is that they're telling us it's going to go far beyond Target. There will be other companies that are affected. If we have another Target come along, a couple of things that people should do to make sure that they're safe.
check your credit. I think the most dangerous thing to me is not what we were talking about the first time, the possibility that somebody go to Target and use that information to make a charge at Target, because I don't think that's a big risk. But the issue is your credit rating, and particularly if you discover that there are new applications in under your name being made that you didn't make, then that's time for some really quick action.
Makes sense to me. Tom Johnson, Johnson Christensen Law Office, SiouxFallsLaw.com. I really don't keep score on this.
Yeah, but, you do.
But it's something that if it'll help the public, that's one of the things that we really want you to be able to do, is to help those people out there, whether it's a car accident, Target, or Social Security, disability, whatever it might be. Tom Johnson is who you call. You can go to SiouxFallsLaw.com. Great place to have a website. I don't know how you got that website, but that's pretty good.
Early and smart.
There you go. Tom Johnson, we appreciate you being with us.